I was thinking, what a privilege to be able to come before you this evening and share God's word with you. It's on number
12. You got the right
one. I'll be one.
There we go. That wasn't my heart. There you go. Why do I say it's a real privilege to be able to come here this evening and share with you? Because as I sat there singing with you all, there was that realization once again that the Lord is in this service. Andrew has no idea what I am going to speak on when he selects those songs. But I, too, was so thankful for that number 165. Why should I fear? He's always near. And I thought, Lord, you've done it again. Your Holy Spirit has been working to minister to our hearts. I am not so proud or naive to think that God only speaks to our hearts and blesses the hearts of a born-again believer through the preaching of the word. The whole service God can use to his glory. My speaking, that's just a portion of it. This service, we bring these services together for the glory of the Lord. And he does a great work, and what a joy to realize I'm just stepping in to continue what the Lord by His Spirit has already done through the ministry of song and testimony. Let's look to Him in prayer. Thank you, Father, that we have this opportunity this evening. I know it is a hot night, and I pray that we can think on the things of you rather than how uncomfortable we might be in this hot auditorium. You have a message for us. You've already spoken to our hearts through the truth of these songs. And we pray that as we continue in your word, you would get all the glory. We praise you, Father, in your name. Andrew, I'll tell you the title of this one later, okay?
Okay.
All right. Don't worry about writing it down right now. I won't forget, but I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 10. Somebody challenged me since it is so hot this evening. Maybe you ought to cut down the length of your message. And I said, that's easier said than done. But anyway, we're going to try something this evening that might work a little bit different. And we'll see how the timing goes, okay? Something that is a little bit different is that, you know, we are not accustomed to looking at a lengthy portion of Scripture as a part of our service. Now, I know of Fellowship Bible in Ann Arbor. If you've ever gone online and watched any of their services, that is something that Pastor Posta does in every one of his services. He reads a lengthy portion of Scripture. But this is something we're going to do this evening. We want to read this portion of Scripture and make some comments from it. And I trust the Lord will get the glory, and it will be a blessing to your heart. Matthew chapter 10, and I invite you to start looking with me at verse 16, and we're going to read through verse 39. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. What a comforting promise our Lord made to us. You say, well, he was speaking to his disciples. That's right. And what a blessing it was to those who heard him over 2,000 years ago. But you know, I believe that promise is still true for us. If we are put on the spot and we are called upon, I believe the Lord will give us, when we need it, the word to speak and the answers. Verse 20, it's not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And where is the Spirit of his Father, by the way? Where is he? He's in us. And he is able to speak through us as he guides us into what to say. The Lord in verse 21 said, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. As we started this book of Philemon, what did Paul refer to himself as? The only place in the New Testament that he called himself what? A prisoner of Jesus Christ. You shall be hated of all men for my sake. But he that endureth or persists to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call him of his household? And what did they accuse the Lord of? Doing all the miracles that he did in the power of whom? You remember? The devil. He said, you get your power from the devil. If they're going to call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more are they going to call them of his household? Excuse me. Verse 26. Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and it that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Can you hear the words of number 165? bringing, why should I fear? He watched this over me. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is that? That's God. That's the one that a person needs to fear. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? A farthing, according to the direction here in my Bible, was worth, farthing is 4 cents at the time this one was written. Two sparrows are sold for 4 cents. One of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Andrew, the title of this tonight is Better Than a Bird. Because verse 31 says, fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send or bring peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes, his enemies, shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is unworthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. It is to me, as we look at this passage, especially we look at a passage which from the beginning through where we stop is a passage that is filled with all kinds of truth concerning what true discipleship to the Lord costs. And what a true disciple of the Lord can expect to happen to them by way of persecution, by way of rejection from those that we love the most. On two separate occasions, the Lord Jesus pointed out that our greatest enemies are going to be whom? Pardon? Our family members. And I think as I speak, there are some of you that are saying, Pastor, truer words were never spoken, because some of the ones that hate my testimony for the Lord the most are some of my dear family members that they just don't seem to understand what Christ can do for them. They don't seem to understand their need of a Savior, that they only have one opportunity and it's this life. And they resent me. They hate me. They've told me, don't tell me that stuff anymore. It's the family members. So many times caused the greatest brief, and the Lord taught that, and how that the Lord mentioned persecution, imprisonment, and other things that go with true discipleship. And he said, you need to expect this because the servant is not greater than his Lord. And if they have rejected me and they've called me names, just imagine what to expect as you try to share your faith with others. And the thing that struck me as interesting is that in the midst of that setting, and in that context, verses 29 through 31 are located. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. In this, the Lord interjected the truth that we don't have to worry. How do I know? Because the Lord says, I watch over the birds. There's not a one of them that falls, and I'm not aware of it. And he has a real easy job for me with regards to me, because the very hairs, it says, of your head are numbered. And I don't have much up there anymore. But the Lord says, I know how many you've got. I know how many you've got. And I ask myself, why in the midst of these verses, in all of this kind of dangerous and unpleasant and fearful things that the Lord would talk about, why would he suddenly interject some verses seemingly out of the blue about birds and hair? Well, I'd like to make three quick observations from this, and hopefully it'll be a blessing. I ask myself, why did the Lord talk about birds and hair? Well, this is, I'm not going to say this is dogmatic, I'm not going to call this doctrine, but just making some observations, it seems to me, number one, that it should teach us that there are no such things as minor or insignificant details with our Lord. There is no such thing as minor or insignificant details with our Lord. Why do I say that? Because sometimes we catch ourselves saying things like, I'm just one person in the whole world. God isn't concerned about me. God doesn't care about me. Ever hear anybody say something like that? He's so busy and occupied with keeping the universe operative and everything else going on in the world. He surely doesn't have time to be personally concerned about me. I'm too small. I'm too insignificant. And the Lord said, you know what? You're worth a lot more than many sparrows. These birds that are so ho-hum, so insignificant that you can buy two of them for 4 cents. But he said, I want to tell you something. Not a one of them falls to the ground that I'm not aware of. Next time we want to start telling ourselves, I'm just a nobody in the eyes of the Lord. He surely has a lot more things to do than care for me. He watches the birds and he knows how many hair are on your head and mine. I don't. But our Heavenly Father is that personally involved. That there are things that we would consider insignificant, like sparrows and how much hair one has on their head. And the Lord said, I want to tell you something. There is nothing, no one, too small, too insignificant for me to be concerned about. And that's you, beloved. Second observation I want us to notice here is that as I look at this, I think to me it suggests that things will never get so big or overwhelming or out of control that God loses track of us. How can you say that? Because not one sparrow falls to the earth. And my wife and I oftentimes will mention that. We'll mention that. Maybe we'll be out and sometimes I see a dead sparrow and I make reference to the fact that the Lord knew when that bird fell. The Lord was watching when that sparrow died. The flip side of point number one is sometimes we think we're so small and we're so insignificant, God's got a lot more to do than be concerned about me. But the song that we sang was, why should I fear? He's always near. And the second point is, there is nothing so big or overwhelming that God loses track of us or loses control of us. Things don't just happen. God doesn't forget or lose us in the crowd. Isn't that a blessing to be reminded of? You say, well, you're just making it up. No, I'm not. Read the verses about the birds and your hair. And we get the picture. God knows everything and he's concerned about anything and everything that you or I face in our lives. That ought to bless your heart. And thirdly, as we look at this, passage in these three verses, 20, 29, 30, and 31, about the birds and our hair, this teaches us that since God is that concerned about birds, we should stop to consider how much more he is concerned about us. Since he is that concerned about birds, we need to stop and realize just how much more he is concerned about us. Let me just draw some concluding remarks from these verses. As we think about this, what can we discover? God's concerned about the birds, but you notice in his own words, you are of more value than many birds. As we think about our own lives and our own relationship to the Lord, it ought to bring great comfort to us to realize that we are so special to him. Though he cares for all of his creation, he takes special care. We are of more value of all of his creatures. And in these verses, we're not going to point them out, but you can take your Bibles back home and look at these verses 24, especially through 39, and notice there's at least three fear nots. Fear not, fear not. And we sang, why should I fear? That's exactly what the Lord was saying. Here's some other observations as we draw this to a close. You say, well, how do you know we're that important to God? Do you know that he never made a bird in his own image? But he made you and me in his image. Do you know that he did not leave heaven to become a bird? But he left heaven to become what? Man. And do you know that he did not die for a bird? But he died for you and me. No place in Scripture does it say that he's coming again to gather the birds. But it tells us in Scripture he is coming again to gather home all of his own. Does God care about birds? Of course he does. He cares so much about them. He feeds them. He shelters them. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, we can find where the Lord was encouraging his disciples. Don't worry, don't be concerned about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Consider the birds of the air. They don't worry about where they're going to get their next meal. And guess what? You don't see them lined up in a soup line. You see them what? Always flitting about and getting what God provides for them. What comfort. What comfort. When we consider, next time you watch the birds, and I watch them all the time, my wife calls them my second family, because the way I sit at the dining room table, I'm looking up at back two windows, and there are bird feeders everywhere for me to watch. Next time you watch the birds or just think about them, just stop and consider their importance to God. They are important. He cares for them. They're not a product of evolution, but perhaps just remind yourself, thank you, Lord. I know you care for them, but I thank you that your word has taught us that we are better than a bird. Let's stand or we'll be dismissed in prayer.
Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
I remember this from a Bible study a long time ago concerning the number of our hairs, and that there are two types of numbers. One of them is just counting. The other is assigning a number to them. And they said that this number is used to show that God numbers each hair, not just counts them, but assigns a number to them.
He assigns a number to them. Thank you, Dick. Wow. Okay, let's stand for our closing prayer, shall we? Father, we find ourselves overwhelmed by the truth concerning you. It is awesome to think of how much you know and how much you care. May the melody and the words of the song in conjunction with the precious truth from your word continue to minister as we go our way. May we remember this in the coming days when we find ourselves in what might be a fearful situation. Bring back to our remembrance this precious truth. We thank you, we love you, we trust you, in your name.